You're listening to the paranormal powerhouse of talk radio. Live around the world, it's the Inception Radio Network. Chase Kletsky and Michael Rambacher.
Project White Paper.
The Stench of the Truth. Stench of Truth. Epic Voyages.
Future Theater.
Pang Radio.
The Jerry Pippin Show.
The UK's Haunted Cornwall. The Eyewitness Radio Show. And the network's flagship broadcast, The Inception Radio Show, with host
Jamie Havokin.
So lock in the paranormal talk show leader, The Inception Radio Network.
It's good to have you back for the rest of the show. We've got, of course, this excellent guest, Jerry Pippin, who's putting things in perspective. That's the thing that really needs doing. I'm not a spring chicken, and I've seen the life and society that I see around me today, as we've mentioned in the earlier part of the show, is a lot harder than it used to be. People don't seem to have the same civility they used to. Not that cops were ever non-brutal, but to an extent, they walked a little closer line. And I guess what I'm trying to say is one of the things Jerry and I are just talking about that throws me for a loop is that all the information that's available now via the internet and all the incredible number of news services and all the radio shows and just from all these various sources, even just magazines, they're still in a rough situation financially, but there's still a lot more magazines than there used to be. What I'm saying is, how can people be so dense as to not see some of these problems? Like,
well, Kevin, I think they see them.
Yeah.
I think that they feel helpless, and they're told by the politicians and by the actions of the judges, and you can't make a difference. I mean, how many people have you talked to who just don't vote anymore because they don't think that it makes any difference, and as a result, there's a voter pool of less than 50% now, and that's a lot easier to fix the election.
I guess it is. I guess it is.
Well, I mean, also, I had somebody in the chat room asked me a question. I said, Jerry, do you think we're heading for a police state? I guess that'd be the best way to shorten that. Yeah. And I think, yes, if we don't do something about it.
I agree.
And it's very simple what we can do about it. We don't have to put up with this.
No.
Let's just talk about, for instance, the mayor in Oakland that ordered that, the mayor in Tulsa, the mayor in Denver, the mayor in New York. They are at the people's whim. You know, there's a thing called recall.
Yeah, people don't even realize that or don't even.
Yeah. You can basically recall them. Okay, a judge, I would suggest anybody that's in one of these protesters that the police interfere with the right to assemble and they break it up. They go to the, you go to the judicial system, you go to the first step, the local judge. The local judge is in bed, sometimes literally, with the authorities of that city. So he's probably, or she's probably going to rule in favor of the establishment. But there's a thing called appeal. And also there's a thing called outrage. And when the media at first was very slow in reporting on Occupy Wall Street. We originally had to have links to Twitter because nobody was covering it.
Absolutely short, slow.
Now they're covering it. And I can get into why they're covering it now if you'd like in a minute.
I would, yeah. That kind of dumbfounded me too, how such, you know I'm an NBC guy this far.
It's the same thing with the UFO issue. It's the same thing with the 9/11 issue. It's the same thing with almost everything. The best weapon the establishment has is to ridicule.
Yeah.
In other words, if you ridicule enough about UFOs, for instance, I'm convinced if an ET landed on the White House lawn tomorrow and he got out of his flying saucer and Obama came down the steps and met him and all the television cameras in the world were carrying it, I'm convinced that within 2 hours, the loyal opposition of the Republican Party would say, oh, that was a Hollywood trick. You know, those liberal Democrats, they've all got Hollywood sewed up. They're trying to make us a one-world government, on and on and on. In other words, we're so cynical now, and we bite into these ideas. And people who are in charge of public relations know this.
Right.
So you don't really get outraged. If you're under attack, what you'd really do is you start using ridicule.
Well, I know.
Like Jerry Pippen and Kevin Cook, they don't have anything else to do, so they're trying to manufacture this 9/11 BS. How in the world could that happen? How could the government pull that off on everybody? How could the media be fooled? It's pretty simple. It takes less than 100 people to pull it off.
Sure.
And because you have a thing called standard operating procedures. The police department behaves in a standard operating procedure way. The fire department does the same thing. The military does the same thing. Everybody obeys somebody. And we're all so big, like in my business, I've got 4 or 5 people that work with me. I have to take their word on a lot of things. Otherwise, why would I have them around?
Sure.
So a general or a president or whoever, and I'm not making excuses for them. They may be as crooked as a barrel of snakes, as they say in our part of the country. But the point is that just because, you take the word of people to work for you, so you get some key people to pull off 9/11. It's pretty easy to pull it off. You get somebody at NORAD, slow walks everything. You have a little thing going on at the same time. You get somebody in a control room at a television station that knows nobody else would know. I've worked in TV and radio. I know when live things come on. You grab what you see, and you talk about it. And it doesn't take long if you throw in a little ringer occasionally. All of a sudden, that's the facts.
Well, I guess the thing with the 911 deal that strikes me is that, like I had on some other shows, is that the smoking gun is the thermite. I mean, even forget all the rest of the circumstantial evidence. I mean, there is no thermite that's commonly occurring in these demolished buildings. I mean, it's a military-grade explosive. It just you could knock down every building in Dallas or Tulsa. It's not going to have thermite in it. And these Arabs certainly didn't have thermite. It's only made by 2 companies in the country here. I mean, it just doesn't happen that way.
Why do you think you and I are allowed to talk about this? I'll tell you why. It serves the purpose of the people who pulled it off, because they get a bunch of conspiracy guys on the air talking about these things.
Yeah.
And I made a vow to myself that I'm going to continue to work until I decide and discover and I see the real story happening on 9/11, on Osama bin Laden, on all of these things.
Right.
We've been played as suckers.
Oh, yes.
And, we have a thing in the human psyche that basically wants you... it's called urban legends. You hear something so often, then you believe it.
Well, that's
I fell for one of these things in a column recently, and I really got my, you know what, chewed out, because I normally never write anything that's not right.
Sure.
And it was a deadline late at night, and I wrote a sentence about this whole thing about Occupy Wall Street, and I made an error. I said something, and you may not realize it's an error, because the urban legend says it's fact, and a PhD friend of mine who's an educator, a top educator in the country, is the one that told me about it. And he told me about it while I was writing this column on a deadline. And it was late at night, and I had a tough day. I made many excuses, but still yet. And that is that congressmen are not in the Social Security system, and they can retire after serving 1, 2, or 5 years, two terms. They get full benefits.
Wow.
Well, that's not true.
And yet they'll vilify the poor little slobs.
That's not true. Why has that been allowed? Why didn't all the congressmen raise hell about that? Because that's common on anybody's internet string of comments. That's a comment they make all the time.
Well, I've heard people like Rusty Humphrey, who's a conservative talk show. See, even though I'm a centrist or somewhat liberal type, I would also like to listen to the opposition. I would periodically listen to KLIF here in town.
Well, I agree with you. You don't know what they're thinking. Why?
But, I mean, I would listen to it, and Rusty Humphrey, who's nothing but a bought-off guy, and people that can't see that. Now, once I was on the I was on the air with Alan Combs, and I mentioned that. I said, look, Alan, don't you think there's something smelly about all these guys that are all trying to be little Rush Limbaugh clones and come up with the party line every time? You don't see smell a rat there, but you could see, I swear, Jerry, you could see I touched a nerve, because Combs is supposed to be the token liberal, right? And I said this, and he said, oh, no, it's absolutely not so. There's no cabal of conspiracy here to have right-wing shows and propaganda. But you could tell it was like your hands in the cash register drawer, isn't it? And it's like, oh, no, it's not. But it was. It's obvious to me from being a salesman as waking up in the morning and making the first sales call. I saw this. I could smell it. I could smell it like rotting fish that
Now let's get to something here. You mentioned something that I think needs to be pointed out.
Okay.
And it's been on the news, and people's eyes glaze over and probably didn't pay much attention.
Okay.
But the Republican Party is now dominant in the House, and they've been on a cutting binge. They want to cut Social Security. They want to cut Medicare. They want to cut every social program known to mankind. But they did something very interesting and very telling last week. They came out with a schedule for all of 2011, the rest of it, for this session and into next year, 2012. And guess what? They're working only 5 days in January. They're only working 107 days in the total year. Yet they're drawing pay and benefits for 365 days.
Right.
Now, what's wrong with that picture?
It means
nobody's raising cash. Everybody should be incensed about that.
Well, they should. Well, I guess that's why it pays to run for Congress. But
the reason the Republicans want to have less days there is because they know that they're getting ready to cut a lot of things, budget-wise, in December, and with this committee, that they decided, and when they made this unholy alliance, and basically, they don't want to be in session when everybody gets upset, and all of a sudden, the Medicaid is cut in half, and that means that mom and pop, who are 95 and can't move, the kids are going to have to take them back home. Because they're not going to get that $2,000 a month to the nursing home paid by the state.
Right. Well, I know.
Now, did the $2,000 is too much money? I agree. But instead of going after the problem, like making the congressmen work for their living, make them work like you and I do, they only work 5 days in January, and they still get full pay. This is rampant throughout all of corporate America,
right,
as well as the federal, state, and local people who are in public sector.
Well, like this main theme, this economic injustice format, the main theme running through the Occupy Wall Street movement, I could personally say, from being in business for 30 years, in one form or another, I've never seen a greater disparity between the regular foot soldiers and the higher echelon in my life. I mean, this whole society has gotten, like you're saying, polarized with the haves and the have-nots. I've never seen it like this. I can promise any young people out there, 25, 30-year-old people, I can promise you, when I got out of college at that age, I could do anything I wanted. You know, economics, you know, were applicable, yes, but I mean, if I wanted to go to pharmacy school, I could do it. If I wanted to be a lawyer, I could do it. Things were not any, it wasn't even close to the format.
You see, all of that changed, and you and I are fairly alert, and I don't think we can really put our thumb on when it changed, but it did change. It did change from the 50s and 60s till now.
Well,
when we got out of college, we thought that we could be president if
right.
we wanted to be.
Right.
And we have many success stories of people who went on to become, kings in their chosen industries.
Right.
But look what's happened the last two decades.
Well, that's the thing.
The last two decades, you only succeed in a little thing called networking.
Yeah.
And now networking is not a bad idea, except it's been carried to an extreme. And so that means only those people that went to those favored Eastern colleges and universities,
right.
like Wharton Business School in Philadelphia,
yeah.
Yale, Harvard, Stanford on the West Coast, they get all of the opportunities.
There are two things wrong with that.
Yeah. First of all, as I went back to what I was talking about before we started the show, opportunity and fairness, both of them are missing out of that equation. And the other thing's wrong with it is you don't get the cream of the crop at the top.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of politicians who are good at personality and that were born into something.
Cronyism. Yeah.
Who think that they deserved it and they earned it. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what I'm saying. They think that I'm after the rich man, I'm after the politician, I'm after people who are greedy. That's not necessarily true. I think a good amount of ambition is worthy of anything.
Sure.
But this is past that because it's no longer opportunity.
Well, there's a
you
reason they call
or it. I or my kids
right.
don't stand a chance in hell in getting to the top.
Well, yeah, absolutely right, Jerry. And there's a reason, you know, most people don't know this, but there's a nickname for Goldman Sachs. They call it Government Sachs because there's a conveyor belt that goes from Goldman to the administrative offices in various governments and back and forth. It's just, it's an intermarriage there where it really is Government Sachs. And you know, if this is not the musings of a couple liberal talk show hosts, this is the truth. It's the way it is. I'm not the one that came up with that little term, Government Sachs. It's just true. And people, what we're basically underscoring is a return to American values that we're decent and honest. And that's what we've come away from, is decent and honest compassion for your fellow man. You don't want the guy that's 95 years old cut out of his Medicare. I mean, come on. If they made just a minimal effort in getting rid of Medicare fraud, I'm sure they could write the finances of the program. I'm sure they could.
Somebody in the chat room, when you were talking about thermite earlier, they wanted to know why you thought that was such an important item. And you kind of mentioned it. You mentioned that it's only available to defense people.
Oh, okay. Well, there's military thermite is a military-grade explosive. It's licensed only to the military. Only two companies make it in the country. It's not the kind of thing that the ABC demolition company in any major city would have access to or would want, because it's a incendiary explosive. It doesn't just blow the buildings up. It burns them up and explodes them. And this isn't something a bunch of Arab terrorists are just going to find somewhere and just buy a bunch of it and use. It just didn't happen that way. In the same way that when Silverstein, that owned all the buildings, including Building 7, which was never hit by any debris, but he said they would pull that building. That construction terminology, pulling a building means demolish it.
Yeah, even Dan Rather on CBS TV noted that was just like a controlled demolition when Building 7 went down. He had his 80th birthday yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I wondered about Dan. I hadn't heard anything from him in a long time. I mean, I've seen him on anything. Now, I know.
Well, I don't know what kind of shape he's in, but I'm getting closer.
Well, now here's
and so he may be doing fine.
But those people in the chat room have got to understand. When I say this is like a smoking gun, it is. It's just like you come into a room, a guy's just plastered somebody, and there's gun smoke coming out of his gun. This is as obvious as that. In other words, damn it, people, this is not something that's just going to exist naturally occurring. It's not something the Arabs are going to have. This is something that had to come from governments, that is to say our government, maybe a foreign secret service group could have this. This is such an exotic material. It proves that there was something more than just a plane hitting.
I go back to my claim that it's not a government conspiracy. It's 100 people or less,
well, yeah,
black operations, who knew what was happening. Some of the major players may not have even known. They just knew how they would react.
Well, in my personal view, and this is a personal view, it's not, I don't have a number on anything. There's no doubt in my mind, not a particle of a doubt, that Dick Cheney knew something was going on. Like one of the shows we had, we mentioned that Dick Cheney was running war games on the East Coast that day. Well, Dick Cheney never did 10 minutes in the military. That's what they make Air Force generals for, to run war games, not some Politico. I mean, that's never happened. I've never heard of Vice President so-and-so running war games on, and especially on that particular day. If people think that's a coincidence, they're very naive also.
It'll be interesting to see how in this trial on war crimes goes against Cheney and Bush.
Well,
see what kind of evidence they bring up. We at JerryPippin.com will be watching it very closely. So November 24th through 7th or 27th through 30th, one of those days. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, yeah, and one of the things you mentioned earlier is that there's a propaganda technique called the big lie, and that's just an old, well-established propaganda technique that intelligence agencies use and every kind of fascist government from Hitler on down has used, and that is to characterize, no matter how stupid the lie, if it's repeated enough, people will buy into it. And, even though...
Well, we're a country built on advertising. I made my living for 50 years in advertising, but and advertising is not necessarily a lie, but it's a point,
right,
that, a strong point on why you'd buy a product,
right,
and you keep saying it over and over, and pretty soon it's no longer a refrigerator, it's a Frigidaire.
Exactly. And I know one of the reasons I stopped listening to right-wing radio was because when Obama got in, it became too repetitive. I mean, this guy, even though I'm a Democrat, I'm not that wonderfully crazy about Obama, but I have to also consider the circumstances that he...
Well,
you have to consider
the alternatives.
Exactly.
And the alternatives are much worse. And Obama has been a big disappointment to me on a lot of things because he believes, evidently, the terrorist bullshit.
I know. But see, I guess what I'm saying
he's an intelligent guy, and why he would fall for that's beyond me.
I know. But also, I guess what I'm saying, too, is if people look at the other side of the coin from us, like the Rusty Humphreys and the Michael Savages and the Rush Limbaugh, the reason I got turned off to listening to them is, and also I used to like listening to Michael Savage because he sounded just like my deceased brother. It was kind of like nostalgic to listen to Michael Savage because he was from Brooklyn or thereabouts. But what I'm saying is, this guy hadn't even put his coat up in the White House yet, and Obama was this and Obama was that. Every night Obama did everything but cause measles. And I got so sick of hearing this constant litany, which was obvious propaganda. It was as much propaganda as anything that would have come up during World War II. So I can see it. I can't believe other people can't. I don't care how conservative and right-wing a person is. You're thinking, my God, this guy just showed up. They even joked about that on Saturday Night Live. They were saying, well, Obama did this and Obama did that. I mean, but what I'm saying, characterize this right-wing attack format on him. But what I'm trying to say is people need to, not just in this one instance, but in all instances, like you're kind of alluding to, is look at what the facts are and not be just overwhelmed by propaganda and the party line, because the party line is a lie. It really is. And I'm not, I'm in some ways, I'm very conservative. I'm very conservative culturally. I'm not
this conservative and liberal label is really overworked.
It's diverse.
There's a third group that's bigger than both.
That's what I believe.
And that's called the establishment.
Exactly. That's my belief. I've always thought, Jerry, it was a lot like the old Carney shell games where they had, you know, three shells and the pea was really in the guy's pocket or in his hand or something, and he's moving the shells around. You're supposed to pick the shell. That's the Republicans and the Democrats. And the real power center, like you're saying, is in the pea, and that's in his pocket. It's a whole third party altogether. Why? Just think about this. And I'm throwing this out to the audience, too. Obama, his national one of his policy advisors was Zygmunt Brzezinski, who's a dinosaur back from the Carter administration. Now, of all the people they could get to advise him, why Zygmunt? I'm not saying just because he's older he's not capable. That's not the point. The point is he's also the one that's been associated as being the founder of the Trilateral Commission and one of these shadowy ultra-government groups or intergovernment groups, and one of the part of the establishment, if you will, the secretive underground cabal of establishment. Why else would Obama have a man like that when there's 1,000 professors and ex-State Department people or ex-military people who could advise him? It's because they trusted this Zygmunt Brzezinski. You don't have to be... I mean, they're not just going to pick this guy just out of a hat. I mean, if a real genuine advisor, they're going to go by credentials. Why else would they do that?
You're either in or out.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the administration said that's one of the things people talk about, a third party. And we probably need a third party.
Probably.
And whether we'll ever get one that's viable, I'm not so sure. I think the only time we got close to one was with Ross Perot.
Yeah.
And now we look back on that movement, and basically it was Ross Perot showing George Bush, the father, that Ross Perot was a person to contend with.
Right.
Because out of the 30-some-odd percent that Perot got and allowed Clinton to be elected by 43%, which I think, personally, I think Clinton's did a good job.
Oh, yeah.
We did a show, and it's available at This Week in Politics. We did a show Saturday night. We always do one at 10:30 Central Time.
Right.
So I try to beat the Sunday talk shows.
Yeah.
And basically, we played some sound bites of Bill Clinton talking about his economy and his financial standing in as a country in his 8 years with the administration.
Right.
And for people to say the Clinton years weren't good, I don't know where they were.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, Hillary said during the campaign with Obama, is what did you like about the Clinton administration, the peace or the prosperity? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. Jerry, I think we need to take one final break, because you and I are chopping through a lot of time, and it's enjoyable as all get out.
This is Chase Kletsky of Project White Paper, inviting you to join Michael Rambacher and I every Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern. We are dedicated to bringing the latest in UFO, cryptids, and paranormal reports and news by the very boots on the ground, researchers and authors with the cutting-edge information. We stand up and are unafraid to uncover the truth in a world of known and extraordinary events. We are live each week only on the Inception Radio Network.